Hi Trinity, my name's Andy, I'm one of the elders of the church, and I just want to say this is a real privilege of mine to be speaking not just to a congregation but into all of your homes. It's a real privilege of mine to be able to be speaking today and to teach on the word, and I think in this moment the word is what we really need. It's what will give us a grounding and a foundation at this time when all other things are shaking. It's an unprecedented time at this moment. In Western civilization, we're so used to being in control. We're so used to being able to have the answers and the solutions. And now what's happening is that everything around us worldwide is being thrown into disarray. And some of the nations, we expect them to happen, but we don't expect it in the UK. We don't expect control to go in the UK. Now, I want to say that I think God has been really kind to us at Trinity. I think God's kindness has been stretched out towards us because we've been studying the book of Revelation. I think the last 8 weeks we've learned that God is a God who is unprecedented. So we might live in an unprecedented time, but actually we serve a God who is unprecedented. And in that God, we have an unprecedented hope. So there's no one like God. He is unprecedented. Why is he unprecedented? Because he's the God that came down to this earth to die on a cross for my sins in my place and raise again to new life so that I can have new life. There is no other God like him. There is no other hope like him. There is no other foundation like the God that we serve. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Revelation 1 verse 8 says this: he is the one who was, who is, and is to come. He is the one who was. He spoke everything into motion. He created all things out of nothing. He created everything. He is the God who is. He's the God who's in control now. He's the God who's seated on the throne, high and lifted up. He's in control and reigning and supreme over all things. And he's the God who will come back. He will. He is, he was, he is, and he is to come. He's the God who's going to return. And he will bring this world to an end and move us to a place of eternity. You see, the reason why these things are so difficult for us right now is it says in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 10, it says that God has placed eternity in man's heart. That means that we have an expectancy for eternity, a longing for eternity. So as these temporal things keep happening, as these things in the temporary take us by surprise, we get shocked and we get fearful. Especially the people that don't know God. We've been learning over the last few weeks that actually through Revelation we'll see dark times come, we'll see bad things happen, we'll see plagues, we'll see illnesses, we'll see viruses, we'll see things problematic come into this world which challenge our eternal desires. But we have to know that God is in control in these moments. We have to trust him that he has a bigger plan, a greater plan, that he can use this for his good. We can trust that he's unfolding a plan of salvation because that is what his plan is. Today I get to teach on Revelation 21 and 22. Revelation 21 and 22 are all about eternity. They're about what eternity will be like. And I really just want to encourage you. Listen, I want you to have a biblical understanding of what eternity is. Because it will ground you, it will give you a firm foundation in this moment, it will give you a steadfast hope. I'm going to read Revelation 21 verse 1 to 8 now, okay? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. My first point is this. Christians often believe that when we die, we'll go off somewhere else and leave this earth. That we'll die and go to heaven away from here, and we have this fluffy understanding of what eternity will be like. Now, I want to say that I believe that as soon as we die as Christians, we get welcomed into God's presence. I believe the book of Revelation gives us this picture all the way through that actually, as a Christian, as long as you've put your faith in Jesus and his blood, you will go to be with God in heaven, straight after death. I believe, you know, the pictures in Revelation of people worshipping are current pictures where the saints have died and gone to worship God, and they're bowing to God now in his throne right now, and that's existing and going on right now. So I believe that if anyone dies as a Christian right now, they go to heaven to be with God, to dwell in his presence. But I don't believe that is the end point, because that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that at the end all of us will go up to heaven. In fact, it teaches that heaven will come down to earth. It teaches that the current earth and the current heaven that we live in will pass away. It will die, it will be destroyed. But that God will create a new heaven and a new earth. So John saw this picture. That's what Revelation is. It's a picture that John saw. And when he saw the earth, he recognized it as the earth and as heaven. It was a recognizable existence as we have now on earth. He was able to say, oh, look, that's what it was. So eternity won't be up in some fluffy cloud. Eternity will be the new heaven and the new earth. Now, people argue, is God going to create something completely new? Is God going to use what is here now? There's different perspectives of that. I want to encourage you not to get carried away with that. I believe if you go through 1 Corinthians 15, you'll see that actually this is like a seed, and the seed will then become a new thing. It'll become wheat, and as a kernel is different to wheat, so the new heaven and the new earth will be different, but it will be recognizable. I want to encourage you that we'll have a physical existence here on earth, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will exist on the earth. And as we go through this passage, you'll want to exist on the earth. And there's good reasons why you will. So have a real firm foundation that actually a new heaven and a new earth is going to exist. God is in control of that. When that happens, God is in control. And what it says is, it says next, so there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, for the old ones have passed away. The sea was no more. That doesn't mean that there is not going to be any massive water in the new heaven or new earth. It doesn't mean that. It means, I don't know if you remember when I taught back on Revelation 5, the sea represents everything in this world that is chaos and destroying and evil. And saying there's no sea anymore is a declaration that there'll be no more chaos. There'll be no more ill health, there'll be no more evil, there'll be no one competing for God's glory. It'll be God in control, that everything will be at peace. That's what it means when there'll be no sea. I'm hoping that there'll be some bodies of water, because I love the water, I love the seas. But what it means is there's no more chaos, no more ill feelings. And then it goes on saying in verse 2, and I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It says that a Jerusalem, a city, will come down to be on this earth. So the city that exists in heaven now will come down to exist on this earth. And it talks later on, you can read through 21 later, but it talks about how there'll be streets of gold that the walls will be covered in rich jewels. It talks about that it being a beautiful place, a place where there is no more addiction, there's no more illness, there's no more pain, there's no unrighteousness in that city, there's only righteousness in that city, there's only goodness in that city. It'll be a fantastic city. But the thing that got me when I was reading Revelation 21 was that actually it talks about the angels measuring out the size of it. And it says it's 144 cubits long, 12,000 stadia. Now, we don't know what they are, what those measurements mean, because they're not the measurements we'd use. But what I do know from the reading and studying that I've been doing is these are very, 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 very big numbers. This city is not like a small city, you know. It's not like a small city. It's a huge city with huge walls, which says something to me. It says something about the goodness of God. One of the most pressing things which stayed with me from Bode's talk a few weeks ago was that actually God is being patient. That's why this world hasn't ended yet. He's being patient for the wicked to come to know him, for those who don't know him yet, for those to come into the light. God is being patient. You see, some people believe that there'll only be a small number of people saved. Remnant theology teaches that there'll be a small number of people in heaven. I don't believe what this teaches says that. This teaches that there's going to be a massive city where millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people will be there saved by God. Now, we're talking about the time where this is an unprecedented time in the UK. When I came to faith, it was an unprecedented time in my life. It was a time where I felt like the foundations of my life had been taken away. And that is where God came in and gave me new and firm foundations. He came and revealed himself as the Saviour that loves me and wants to reach out into my life. I believe that at this time God can use these unprecedented times to pull the rug from under people, so that he can introduce himself. I believe that God is a saviour that wants to save people. I believe that he will use this for his goodness, for his grace to break in. I believe that this will bring salvation. And I want you to have that hope. When the rug is pulled from under you, where is your foundation? When the rug is pulled from under your friends, what is the foundation that you can talk about? It's the God of salvation, the God of hope, the God of peace, the God that reaches out and changes situations. Let me put courage in you. God wants to save people around you. God wants to save your friends. He wants to save your family. He wants to bring you. If you don't know Jesus yet, he wants to save you. He will bring control back. The next thing that I notice in this, it says something really, really beautiful. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. This is what God has been working for the whole of this, since creation began. You see, in the Garden of Eden, he used to walk with Adam and Eve and have face-to-face contact, and then the fall happened and separation came in. And as separation came in, God wanted to keep dwelling with them, but because of the sin, he couldn't be in their presence. And then he made a way through Moses for him to have a temple where if there was enough divides between him and the people, he could exist in their presence. And Moses was the only one who could see him, but he never saw him face to face. It tells us in Numbers, Moses couldn't see him face to face. We then have the God who comes down and dwells in his temple, but there's still division between man and God. And then we have a fresher, better revelation through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on a cross for us in the gospel, and he promised in the book of John that he'd come and be present with us by his Holy Spirit. And he said, it's better for you by far if I die and go to be with my Father, because I will send out the Holy Spirit to you. And then so we have the presence of God now, and I know that I enjoy the presence of God when I worship. I enjoy his presence coming into my room. I enjoy him being around. But I still feel like there's more, because right now I still, do you know, remember we're talking about eternity. I feel like there's a longing for more, where I'll be in his presence for all of eternity, where there is no separation. I'm not hurt by the things around me. What this promises is that there will come an end of time when God will come and dwell in on this earth, in his city. And it says this, "And I saw a no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb will be its temple. And the city has no need for sun or moon, because the glory of God gives it light. And the lamp is the Lamb. By its light, the nations will walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it." You see, it talks about God being there and as not even needing the sun anymore. God will always be there. And I think there'll be a reality that we get to look upon God and dwell with him and see him face to face, and we'll get to enjoy something that we're longing for, this eternal thing. And I think as we're in eternity with God, he will be our light. He'll be the one that sustains us. He'll be the one that gives us energy. He'll be the one that heals us. He'll be the one that puts his glory everywhere. I don't know about you, but when I've experienced the touch of God's glory, it's been a really powerful thing in my life. God's glory falling down, and I cannot wait to be in eternity with God, an eternal existence. And it says that there'll be no more pain. It says there'll be no more mourning, no more crying. The former things have passed away. Temporary things will come to an end. God will come and dwell on earth in his city, and we will get to be in God's presence, where there is no more pain, there is no more suffering. He gives eternal life. It's a glorious thing that we get this eternal hope, this eternal perspective. God has been so good and so kind to us. He will come and live with us. Isn't that so good? We're taught to expect heaven to come to earth now. And I think as Christians, that is what we're called to. I was surprised when I was reading here that the things that God judges people for, he judges the cowardly and the faithless. And I want to suggest that the opposite to cowardly and faithless is courageous and faith-filled. And I want to encourage you at this moment to be courageous and faith-filled. I want you to think, actually, how in this moment can I be courageous? How in this moment can I be faith-filled? How can I do this season now in a faith-filled way? What is God calling you to do to be courageous? Is it trusting him in this moment? Is it trusting that he's in control and reigning? Is it worshipping him in the midst of the unknown? I think something God's really challenging me about is the fact that we need to get the message of salvation out there. And I think us using the internet in this way is one of those ways, but I think he's calling us to more. I think, church, I want to challenge you. I've been seeing a lot on Facebook and a lot on social media of worship, of prayer. I want to challenge you to do that yourself. Create some videos, create some content to reach into your friends' lives. This is an unprecedented time where we can put the unprecedented God into people's lives. People are longing for it and hoping for it. We can give the eternal perspective. How are you going to be courageous in this season? Are you going to make phone calls to people? I think that's something else I've been challenged about. Sometimes I decide not to phone people because I'm like, oh, why would I phone that person? Be connected at this moment. Take courage and make phone calls. Don't allow the lies to get into your head. Be faith-filled. We have an eternal God who offers an eternal hope. Let me just pray as I close. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you're a God who reigns in all situations. You are in complete control, that we do not have to fear. I pray now that fear be still in your name, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that we would experience your presence now, Lord Jesus, in a fresh way, in a new way. I pray, Lord Jesus, that people in their homes, Lord Jesus, would be filled with your faith. I thank you that faith is a gift from you, and I pray now for faith, Lord Jesus, to arise in us. I pray for courage to arise in us, Lord Jesus. I pray that we'd be hearing your voice, that you'd be leading us on. You'd be the good shepherd who leads us on. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd create connection on a deeper level than ever before, Lord Jesus. I pray that we would have an eternal perspective in this temporary moment. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come in power, that you would heal people, you would restore people, you would make them well, Lord. I pray that you would move powerfully in this place, Lord. You are a good God, a kind God, a God who loves us and loves this world. And we pray now, Lord Jesus, that you'd pour out your spirit in this place, Lord. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, enjoy your huddles. Have a great time. I love you all.